Hello, and welcome to my first podcast. This is just an experimental thing, but if it works out well for me, this will be the pattern for the podcast to be coming up from here on out. I decided I'm probably going to be doing this on Thursdays. Thursdays seem to be a good time. I have a lot of Thursdays off, and if I don't, well, you know, I can get it another part of the Thursdays, whatever. Podcast actual contests will contain a section on author's notes. We're going to recap a story of whatever it is that we're doing so far, and we're going to give you some backgrounds to characters and the settings. Followed by the feature. In this case, it's going to be a reading from a book that I'm working on called Epiphany. And after that, we're going to have a preview of the next show, get you some of my feedbacks and factoids if we need them. And then, of course, we'll be giving you your thanks and usual sign-off once we're finished with that. Anyway, we're about a minute in. Initial setup for what's going on right now. These are the author's notes. This is a section, or we're going to be starting today, chapter one of a work that's in progress. It's called Epiphany. This is a sequel to the Magnolia Chronicles, which is already out and available on Amazon. We'll have more about what we're doing here with that a little bit later on. Cast of characters, there's some characters that we're setting up from the Magnolia Chronicles. Dan and Emily Stevens. Dan is the pastor of the Magnolia Baptist Church. That's been changed a little bit. You'll be hearing about that a bit later on. Emily is on there, but not as much as she will be later on in the story. And then, of course, there's Police Chief Harold Richmond. He was also introduced in the Magnolia Chronicles. Harold Richmond is patterned after a friend of mine that I went to college with. Nice guy. I worked for a number of years as a police chief down in southern Ohio, as I understand it. I haven't seen him for ages, but that's where I'm patterning him. He and Dan Stevens are, well, they're good friends right now. Harold Richmond is Dan's, I would say, his muse, a way to look at it. He's also a former nemesis. When Harold belonged to the Highway Patrol, he was forever chasing the juvenile Dan Stevens in and out of Fuller County. And anyway, that's where that's going. There's no recap of the story so far, so let's, without any further ado, let's go for it. Epiphany by B.D. Harrell. Chapter 1. Dan Stevens woke up at 3 on a Thursday morning to the shrill sound of a ringing telephone. Actually, he woke up to the sounds of two telephones and the wailing of sirens from the volunteer fire department at the north end of the street. In an attempt to answer his cell phone first, he knocked the handset off the bedside telephone. That phone quit ringing. Before he could recover the handset, a voice from the listening end was practically screaming to him about something he could not quite comprehend, except for the word fire. "Yeah," Dan managed to mumble out. "Just a minute." He reached his cell phone and flicked the icon on the screen so it would be quiet. Another voice said the same words that the voice from the landline had said. Again, the word fire got mentioned. That was it. The wailing of sirens got closer. He managed to sit up on one side of his bed and put the receiver to the landline in his ear. "Hey, this is Dan. What is it?" "You better go quick. It's high south. Neighbors, that's the church." Dan had trouble processing what the caller just said. "Come again?" he asked. "The church is on fire, Dan. You need to get there quick." It finally registered with him. Steve Mulligan was on the other end of the line telling him that the Magnolia Community Church was on fire. "Be right there," he said. "What is it?" Emily Stevens' voice floated over from the other side of the bed. She sounded more alert than he was. The racket obviously woke her up, too. fire at the church, he said, while springing up to see what he could put on to go outside. Emily picked up his cell phone and addressed the other caller while he went into his closet to find a pair of pants and a shirt. "That was Harold on your cell phone," Emily informed her husband while he pulled on his shirt. "He called to tell us that the church is on fire." The sound of the passing fire engine racing past the house headed toward the church confirmed that there was indeed a fire going on at 3 in the morning. Somewhere. Please God, not the church, Dan thought. While he struggled to find a pair of shoes and some socks, he threw on a robe, then went to check on his children. Frank the dog, was already pacing noisily in the upstairs hallway, appearing as if he were his anxious mother, worried about her children. "It's okay, Frank," Dan heard Emily tell the family dog while he rushed past her to head downstairs and out the door. He raced out onto the sidewalk in front of the house. The sirens from the volunteer fire department truck were winding down. Shafts of light from just down the street from the fire truck, along with a pillar of fire and smoke in the same general area, confirmed Dan Stevens' worst fear. The Magnolia Community Church was on fire. Dan's legs pumped faster than they had to for years as a shot of adrenaline rushed through his body. His emotions ranged from dread to fear and then back again. Doors on the other houses opened and people came out to see what was happening. Some followed the pastor, some stayed put in the safety of their doorways. Dan arrived to a scene of organized confusion. Two women were busily tapping into the hydrant in front of the church, while three men were unwinding the hose from the truck. He recognized them as some of the people living closest to the fire station. They were usually ready when an alarm came in to jump into their outfits and roll the truck to the scene of whatever emergency would happen to come up. The women managed to uncap the hydrant and attach the hose running to the pump on the engine in less than a minute before turning the valve to tap into the water supply. In the matter of just a few more seconds, two hoses running from the truck started to fill with water. Two men, one on each hose, braced themselves against the expected kickback. To Dan, the scene was surreal. In front of him, engulfed in flames, was a building where he had practically lived and grown up. When he arrived to become pastor of the church just 4 years earlier, he did so with the joy of finally coming home. The church was his refuge as a teenager, and a place of refuge to others now that it was his turn to be in charge of the church most people in Magnolia felt comfortable attending. When he arrived, it was the Baptist church. Now, it was just the community church, due to Dan's influence and just plain stubbornness. Since there are several differences of opinion between Dan and the other pastors of the Baptist faith, he took the church in his own direction. 95% of the regulars stayed with him. The few dissenters were welcome into the building anyway. After about 6 months, most of them decided that they liked Dan's preaching more than they liked the old way of doing things and were welcomed back into the fold. Dan felt a hand on his shoulder. "You okay, buddy?" The chief of police, Harold Richmond, arrived. Dan's former nemesis, when he was a teenager tearing up the roads of Fuller County, was now one of Dan's best friends. There are also times when Harold was his muse. "Yeah," he answered, just now realizing he was on the edge of hyperventilating. Some of the others are arriving, and Roy's called in a truck from Prentice to come and help," Harold continued. "Not much we can do except stay out of the way and pray." Harold was right. He had a knack of being pragmatic and practical when the time came. "Sure," Dan agreed. He stood in the middle of the church parking lot while people and equipment swirled around him as if he were a statue in the middle of a bizarre ballet. The flames and the smoke danced from the top of the building, mocking him, taking away a part of his life he could not easily replace. Harold's arm guided him toward the periphery of the action. Both men eventually perched on the front fender of a nearby car to watch as the fire became more intense. 2 hours later, they were still there. 5 in the morning found hints of dawn tugging at the horizon, while embers in what was once a pillar of the community glowed with a fiery light. At some point, Sheriff Roy Ball joined them. Another army of townsfolk joined those who were on the periphery, offering coffee and hope to both firefighters and victims. "I never thought of myself as being a victim," Dan observed as the first fingers of light pierced the darkness of that Wednesday morning. "Maybe this isn't a tragedy as much as it could be an opportunity," Harold suggested. "A door has certainly been closed, so let's look for that open window." Dan smiled, hoping that his friend was right. There might be an opportunity salvaged from the wreckage before him, but at the moment it was difficult to imagine. Two, some of the faith which seemed to keep him going in the early years of his ministry appeared to be ebbing away. He likened the now smoldering remnants of the church to some of the same smoldering remnants of his soul. Some of the chores he took on when he accepted his position in his hometown had become onerous. He watched the fire department spray down the last of the embers and determined to find a new direction for him and his family. He would be finished with Magnolia, its people, and its continuing drama to find peace elsewhere. He was about to declare his intentions to his friend when he felt a tug at his trousers. "Mommy told me to tell you that it's time to come home." His daughter Gracie and Frank the dog, had sidled up to him to remind him that there was nothing he could do about his situation at the moment. Dan Stevens looked up from the ground and saw a face. It was a new face. At the same time, there was something familiar about it. Almost as soon as Dan's eyes made contact with a stranger, the other looked away, then blended into the crowd. Something wasn't right. A feeling came over him, telling him that maybe the person belonging to that face had something to do with the tragedy laid out before him. But for now, there are plans for healing. The heartbroken pastor put on a brave face to walk back home with his older daughter and the family dog. Questions concerning what to do about the church would wait until after breakfast. That's the end of chapter one. Chapter two, now this is the preview of the next show. Chapter two is the aftermath of the fire. We've got some contact with the FBI coming in. We'll go over that next week when we do it. Feedback. We do welcome your feedback either through this website or otherwise. There's my phone's ringing already. Must be listening. But anyway, Dan is pretty heartbroken at this point. We would like your feedback and maybe some factoids next week on that. I do want to thank you for listening. We do have three books out right now. They're available through Amazon, and hopefully we can have them out through other channels here fairly soon. The first book is Saving Magnolia, which is the start of the series. It's followed up. We followed that up with a book that this is the sequel to. That book is The Magnolia Chronicles. It tells a lot about Pastor Dan coming into Magnolia. And finally, we have a series of short stories, including it's called The Coin Jar. We have a couple of other stories involving Magnolia in there and on their periphery. Anyway, that's about it. Just doing this partly as a as an experiment to see if we can do this with a recording device. Until next time, this is author B.D. Harrell. Be seeing you.